Well, if you're like me, you've been on a journey. I'm looking for some good things to happen in Christ Jesus. I'm hungering. I don't know about you. I know in the natural you're hungering. But I'm telling you, in the spirit world, it should be stirring up and rising to the forefront of your being right now. Being in the house of God and being in the presence of God, there is nothing likened unto it. Absolutely nothing. If you miss Sunday school, you just flat miss Jesus. It wasn't about Brother Al. Brother Al brought us some word. But it was about Jesus. It was about how you need to stir up your faith. How you need to realign and readjust and let the chiropractor of your heart take that old heart and massage it back into a rhythm that can beat after him in the doctrine of salvation and the fullness of God. You just missed it. I'm going to tell you. I ain't going to tell you no more about it. I'm just going to tell you. It's like a candy stick. You either got it or you didn't. And we got the taste of some sweet things of the Lord, Brother Al. Thank you so much. I give honor this morning to the mother of this church who has given her heart and soul and strength to see you sitting where you're sitting today. Not only you, but your loved ones that shall come after you that are coming into this great thing, because this is a great thing. This is not done by no accident. It was pre-planned, and you are predestined to sit in the audience of Christ Jesus today. The words that I bring you, they're not going to be my words. They're going to be the word of God. I'm going to speak them, but I am no more than that light switch over there that gets flipped on and can be flipped off at the will and the power of the Holy Ghost. And today, that's all any of us are. I just want to be the best conduit that I can possibly be. Don't you? Would you give him a hand clap of praise? Father, we love you, Jesus. We appreciate you, God. We so love you. This is a strange predicament that he has put me in the spirit. And I say that from the honesty of my heart. In my flesh, it would almost make me want to draw back, because I am used to God giving me a message and laying it out on paper that I can follow it to what he has given me, a pattern, so to speak. If you preach or you teach, you know what I'm speaking about this day. This is going to be different, to say the least, but it'll be from God. I promise you it'll be from God. Because every word in here, from the front cover to the very back cover, from Genesis to Revelation, is God Almighty. It is all about him. All that you do, all that you are, all that you act on should be acted on through and by the authority that stands here. It was said already, there's no other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved but through the name of Jesus. He is what it's all about, not me. John said he must increase, and somehow I got a way, find a way to decrease. When Jesus walked on this earth as man but yet fully God, in the demonstration of the power of the Spirit, he was who he said he was. But in reality, he made himself of no reputation. He would heal people, and immediately, Sister Davis, he would turn around and say, "See, don't tell nobody." Why would you do that? Because he did not want his flesh to stand out to the people as being fleshly man. He wanted the Spirit to come forth. And if you are a man or you are a woman of God, that's what you should want in your life this morning and for here ever after. Because God is the one that is important, not me. There are some things that I may say. I might misdirect my words in such a way that they may be hard for you to understand. And it's hard for me to speak even right now for some reason, but I'm feeling the Holy Ghost this morning. I just love him so much. I'm going to be reading, and I'm going to be probably doing quite a bit of reading. Because like I said, I have no notes. I'm going to go by his notes. If it's all about him, then it's going to be his words. 1 John 1, if you've got your Bible with me. I use this, the book of John, at this present moment in my life, is probably one of the greatest books of the Bible that I can say is like eating cake and ice cream with the chocolate on the top and a cherry. The book of John gives me some things because I can see a man who I want to pattern myself after besides Jesus Christ, and it was John. Someone who can get so close to lay his head upon his bosom and to hear his heartbeat. I probably will never in the flesh of this earth, might not ever, I'm not going to say probably, may not ever see Jesus personally, eye to eye. But when I read this word, I can see him in my spiritual eyes that Brother Al was talking about, and I can know and understand that he's got my best interest and yours to heart. 1 John 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. I know it's not up there yet, but you're just going to have to bear with us even if it does not get up there. The Word of God is true and steadfast. You cannot have an Old Testament without the New, and you cannot have the New without the Old. They hold hands together. They complement each other. It shows you the totality of God in his fullness. And when he came, he didn't speak other than the word to the people. You're going to find it out today as you begin to see how he amplified his word. He made it, Brother Al, easy for us to understand. Though in our flesh we try to comprehend, because it's at war with the spirit. And when your flesh is trying to figure things out, you're thinking with your natural mind. But when your spirit begins to get a glimpse and to see some things, now something begins to happen. What is the Holy Ghost this morning that God said he would give you but a down payment on that is to come? It is a revelatory or a revealer of the great things that you can have through Jesus Christ. So if you do not have the Holy Ghost today, this may just slip right on over your head. Because what we're going to be speaking here is some strong meat. But God will not leave you comfortless. And if you came looking, he's going to give you something. So whatever I say, make it not out of order or turn the switch off in your mind, because I'm delivering it in such a way that might be uncouth to you or not be right up your alley or whatever. But in a thing today, my wife made a statement, and in her statement was, in every message that we would preach, there is a nugget of truth, and you gotta pan that nugget out. For you. Everybody here has the same opportunity to dig the word out for themselves. The problem is we don't want to be minor 49ers with Jesus. We get tired and we grow lazy, and so we sit on the bank and wish somebody else would just give us a little bit of gold out of their pan. Well, today if you're looking for that, and that's how you came to church, and you're just shopping mall, you're just window shopping Jesus, you'll get what you came for. But if you really want to pan some of this out, you get into some of this stuff we're going to be talking about today, and God's going to richly bless you. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Now, if you go on and you're reading down, you're going to find out some wonderful things about who He's talking about. In Him was the life, and the life was the light of men. And that light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. If you are sitting this morning and you are not, have not turned your life over to God, or maybe you're in the process of fixing to or going to, I encourage you, just go on, do it. He's got some great things for you that you can't even think, ask, or even imagine in store that He wants to drop into your life. Heavenly Father, by the power of Your Spirit, God, through the soundness, God, of Your Word, I come. I present You, God, to this assembly and to all who would hear, God, to all who would listen, that You would be first and foremost in everything that we do, be it from our rising up or from our lying down or anything in between, God, that You would give us meat in due season and that You would open the blind eyes and let them see, God, and that You would bring forth the lame and the crippled, Lord, and let them walk and dance before You in the spirit of things. I know, God, that You are able and well and shall do this because I trust You, and by faith, God, it shall happen here in this house. For You shall fill all the house, God, and the place will be shaken by the power of Your Spirit through Your anointing. Thank You, Jesus. I speak that by faith. You may not see the evidence of it in this particular place, but I guarantee you, if you get into God's house, shortly you will see, though you did not see before, and understand, though you didn't comprehend before, because that is the God that I'm talking about. Verse 10 of John says, He was in the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. He came born in a little Jewish home one day, and in that Jewish home, Mama knew who He was, and Daddy knew who He was, because He was annunciated by angels that visited them personally and told Him. But then in their finite man minds, they still could not grasp the totality of God robed in the flesh, especially when He comes as a little child, that they had to put the bottle or what, however means that they did to raise Him up and to rear Him up and to be accountability before Himself or before the Word, actually. I don't want to get ahead of myself. They had to rear Him up and they had to watch Him grow. They had to surrender Him and let Him become what He was going to be. And they did a good job, I believe. His own received Him not, born a Jew. Think about it. Many people, I don't know about you here, particular your home instances, but some of you didn't have a good home life. You had abusive daddies or abusive mothers. Or maybe you were raised in an orphanage home somewhere and tried to fit in. It didn't feel like you ever could blend in. That was a familiar thing to this God that we serve that walked on earth 100% man, but yet 100% God. He was familiar and is familiar with everything that is happening in your life. He knows your troubles. He knows your bank account. He knows exactly who you are and what you're made of because He put it there. Some of it for the good. Some of it you think is bad. But He put it there to keep you in check so that you would know to depend upon Him. And you're thinking, God, remove this. I want to change this. And He's saying, My grace is significant for you at this point. Because in your weaknesses now, you'll be made strong. Why are you going to be made strong? Because you're going to trust in me. And you're going to see that I can do all things and you can do all things through me. Because I'm going to strengthen you to do them. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on what? His name. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. And it's Jesus, my Lord. Is his name wonderful to you? Maybe you're out there and you don't know him. And that name ain't wonderful to you. You've used it in anger against the situations, against your frustrations. He's saying, that's all right. I still know you. I still beckon to you to come. Imagine sitting across the table from your dearest 12 that you chose. And one of them has a spirit of the devil. And you can look over at him and say, friend, whatever you got to do, do it quickly. I don't care where you're at today. He's beckoning to you. He's saying, I want to call you my friend. You might not be acting like it. You might be doing your own thing. But you're my kid. And I made a place for you. If you'll just but listen. Which were born of the blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. He's predestined for you a heavenly home. A place where you will belong and you do belong. Though the world may reject you because of him. And though you may feel like an outsider at times, even in the company of crowds of people. He wants you to know you're welcome at his table any time of the day, of the morning, of the evening. Whenever you want to sit down and have a conversation, he's ready and willing to listen. All you got to do is speak the name, that name that is above every other name. Call out to him in your trouble, in your sorrow, in your shame, in your suffering. And that name that is above every name, the ear stands attentive, waiting for the call of his child, which is you, my friend, my daughters, my children, he calls you. Did not he already tell us? You're his children. You're his sons. You're his daughters. He's adopting you. You might not feel like you belong, and you do not belong in this world. It is not your place. Your place is beside him, or even sitting upon his lap. Because it says you're seated with him in heavenly places. When you get the earnest of this down payment of the Holy Ghost into your life, when your sins have been washed away by the power of the blood through the name of Jesus in the water, and the two are combined, and you're no longer in your sins, and you come up that new creature, something has happened in your life that is supernatural. It is powerful. It is mighty. Where you can call him daddy and go and sit at any time on his lap, and he'll put his arm of the Spirit around you through that name. He says this: you were not born by your mama's blood or by your daddy's blood, but you were born by his Spirit. You say, how do I be born? Nicodemus asked it, what must I do to be born again? He said, you got to be born again of the water and of the Spirit to inherit. How am I born of the Spirit? Hopefully, this today will answer that. And that's just the prelude of what I'm going to talk about today. I asked God, I said, God, I do not know what you want from me. But I want to do what you want me to do. I want to say what you want me to say. Please, I know many of you have been fasting and you've been in prayer. I know there's already been a promise that you're going to go eat somewhere. But please, don't turn it off or hurry me along today. Let the Spirit do the work that I can't do, because I'm just a man like you. I got faults. I got failures. I got shortcomings. I can admit to you some things if you would have time, if I would have time. I'm not always what I want to be, but I am a student of this word, because this word is what saves me. This word is what delivers me. I am not a scholar by no means. I don't know all Greek. I don't know Hebrew. But I know Jesus, because one day he had mercy upon me. He reached down in my fallen state and he picked me up. And he gave me something that's real and something to be desired of more than gold. And yes, more you're finding out than the food you eat. He is the most important thing that will ever be in your life if you will just let him in. He says he stands at the door and knocks. That's on your heart. He's wanting you to let him in, to surrender your will that he can do these things. And yet we march on our way, oblivious to what he has to say. Chapter 14 of John would say this. Excuse me. I got a big towel today. I don't know. I didn't know what to expect, nor do you when you come into the presence of God every time. And that's what's so cool about it. He's a right on time God. He is a deliverer, a sanctifier. He is everything you need him to be when you need him to be in. He possesses all things and will give them to you. All you got to do is ask. Chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also, he said, in me. Now, this ain't just anybody speaking. This is Jesus Christ. And if you're looking at your Bible and you've got the chance to have a red-lettered Bible, it's all written right there in red. This ain't Brother Ed saying this. This is God himself robed in the flesh, because in him dwelled all the fullness bodily. That means that sometimes he's going to speak as a man, but other times he's going to control as God the things that need to be controlled. Other times he's going to open eyes that can't comprehend and understand what the scripture is saying and reveal himself in a full way to you, and only you at that particular time maybe, and you'll just sit there with your mouth slack jaw. What in the world? And you'll feel the holiness of God and his angels as they would minister to you when you call out to him. He's saying, just trust me. Don't be troubled. I know you got some troubles. I know the politics of this world have some of you in confusion. I know the governments and the things that are happening around you could cause you to fret or to worry. He said, but don't you worry, little one. I got this. I am still yet in control. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again unto you. We take the scriptures quite literally, and presently God's going to do this thing. He's going to take me out of here, and he's going to give me my inheritance. He's already given you an earnest down payment if you have been filled with the Holy Ghost. And he's saying, if you can jump into my timeline, you have a timeline that starts here at your birth and there at your death. But his timeline is eternal. It starts nowhere and it ends nowhere. He says, I can come in and out of my timeline when I choose, because I make the rules. I am God. I am in charge of things. You're looking with your mind's eye at life and death, but I'm looking at you with eternity set in mind, like I stepped into eternity. I stepped into the ethereal, the earthly, and I became again heavenly. He said, if you destroy my body in 3 days, he didn't say God would raise it up. He said, I will raise it up again. He said, my life was not taken from me by you. It was taken because I gave my life for you. You can't take anything that belongs to God, but you can inherit everything just for the asking of it. In my Father's house are many mansions. When you step into the timeline of God, now you begin to go upward in the dimension of the ethereal or the heavenly. You begin to travel and move in a spirit realm where anything is possible now. You want a mansion? Well, guess what? By faith, you can step into the dimension of the perfect will of God according to the scriptures. And you can ask what you will in my name. We're going to see it. And he says, I'm going to do it for you. You want a mansion? I can give you the mansion. I'm the one who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. It's in my power and it's in my will. For my kingdom's sake, I'll do anything. I'll move heaven and I'll move earth. And I proved it because I came down out of heaven and came down as just a spawn of a seed and grew to maturity like a tree, and so can you. He says, I will come and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also. He's telling you, when you get this Holy Ghost, when you get settled in your heart that Jesus is God Almighty robed in the flesh, and that he came not just for the world, but for you, you begin to see in a new dimension. I was in a meeting last night. In that particular meeting, the man was talking about God. Oh, Lord, should I share this or not? I have to ask myself because I don't want to get out chasing some rabbit. I press for the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus was a particular scripture that he used. You are the arrow of God shot into the dimensions of the holy when you accept him and his spirit. Which means to say that now laid out before you is the perfect plan for you that will give you the best fulfilled and happy life that you can ever experience on the face of this earth. The problem is you are still contending with flesh in a self-will. And when you get finally to some positionings, all of a sudden wonderful things happen, or a mansion begins to bloom into your ethereal world, regular world. And you're like, wow, this is great. But you cannot always remain in the state of the perfection like he did, because only he is God, your flesh. And things happen that maybe put you off course. Or you get a weight of sin that so easily besets you. Or something happens that troubles you in such a way that you lose heart and lose faith. And you can see it in the disciples from time to time. And all of these things happen. But when you finally get up there, he said, one of the ministers of the gospel brought it to him like this. He said, he will lay out what was perfected that you could see. And then he will take what you did with it and he will hold it up in a transparency and he will roll it over the top of that, that you can also see where you went wrong and where you did err and how that it would have been better for you to stay in the word on the right path. I don't know. You can't find that in the scriptures. But he gave me an illustration that stuck in my head. Oh, how I want to be a man of the word. How I want to be somebody that knows what he's talking about when it comes to it. And the only way that I can be that is to open that book and to find it for myself. or to listen to my elders and those that speak the word that stay strong in the faith. I can't find it any other way. As he's speaking there, it says, verse 5, Thomas said unto him, no, he said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. Whither I go, ye know, and the way, you know. How do you know the way to God? It's as simple as asking a baby when it's hungry, do you want a bottle? Plunk. The way to God is in the book. If you aren't a woman of God, you're not going to know it. If you're not a man of God, you're not going to know it. Because people of God are in the book according to the scriptures. They line it up. They put precept on precept and line upon line. And they look at it to see, is it measuring up? Am I measuring up? And when that you're doing that, you're submitting your will to God's will. Jesus said unto him, or Thomas said unto him, Lord, how can I know whither thou goest? How can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you're privileged enough and you're looking at the scriptures and you got your Bible there with you, there may be a little footnote down at the bottom. And it's going to tell you John 10 and 9. And I want you to go to John 10 and 9 because John 10 and 9 says this. He says, I am the door. By me, and if any man enter, he shall be saved. He shall go out and find pasture. He shall go in and out and find pasture. He's saying, you're a privileged individual if you've been filled with the Holy Ghost and you're walking and you're talking with God. If your sins are washed away, because you're going to be able to, in your prayer, go into another dimension or a realm of the Spirit. Many don't understand and can't quite comprehend. What is the infilling of the Holy Ghost and the speaking with other tongue? The tongue is not of man. The tongue is God coming down, as you're going to see later on in this particular portion of scriptures. But you can only get it by listening and following the words of the greatest teacher, prophet, and high priest that ever walked on this earth, Jesus Christ. He said, if you have known me, you should have known my Father also. And henceforth, you know him and have seen him. Now that's a heavy scripture. Because what he's doing is revelatory to a people that wanted to know God. But all of a sudden he's revealing himself to them on who he is. Listen once more as I read it. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. He said, if you would have known what the word said, you would have known who I am. And if you knew who I am, you would have no problem following after me. Because I am the bread of life. But he didn't say it here. I just added that on my own. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices. Ain't that just like your flesh? God told me yesterday. Like I said, I was in a meeting last night up in Kansas City. I was flustered. I was upset. My son-in-law had parked his car behind me. He knew my meeting was at 5 o'clock. Now it's 5 after 5. And I'm late. And I'm starting to stew a little bit under my collar. This just ain't right. That boy knew. What's wrong with that hard-headed kid? Philip, I love you if you're listening or you're going to listen. It was God, it wasn't you, son. He was teaching me something. He was teaching me just like he'll teach you. If you'll let him teach you, he'll teach you. He spoke to me. He said, Ed, forgive me for just a moment. I got to get out of a tie and are a little bit more comfortable here. I'm just going to be myself. Take some stuff off here and I'm going to get some warmth off of me. And it ain't from the Holy Ghost. Yes. You can forgive me. We're going to work this out here. I trust your patience. Woo! Woo! Someone gone down and let the monkey out the bag. I can sing, I can dance. Hey, by the way, I got operated on last Monday. They cleaned out my knee. They went in there, they scraped, they chiseled, they did everything. They cut a meniscus, and they supposedly put it back the best that they could, but God was guiding their hands. And I say, you say, well, how do you know that was the will of God? Well, I ain't going to go into all that right now, but I'm going to tell you, I know it was God, and I know that I was in the will of God, and God did it to slow me down. Some of you are just plain too busy. You got too many things on your plate that you're doing. And then when you do get time, you spend it in the entertainment world doing nothing. Letting the mind run free. Letting it be filled with all kinds of things that should not be there. And that's just fodder for the cannon right there for a moment. But since I have had my operation Monday, I will testify to you, and I wanted to jump up while I go, but didn't do it. I took one pain pill called Oxycontin. I don't know if y'all know anything about that mess. I don't want no more no Oxycontin. You can have it all. I'm getting Jesus. I did not take but one of those things, and I did not feel myself. I was uncomfortable. I felt like I was kind of out of my body, and it was just a horrible feeling to me. And I was one that used to love to get high and do drugs and all that mess, but man, it brought back some memories. And I was like, God, I don't want this. Where are you at, Jesus? I need you. And all of a sudden, God come on the scene, and I've not been able to take a pain pill, and I took one or two aspirins, but God, guess what? I can dance on my new leg because the Holy Ghost is upon me and my God is greater than anything out there. Taste and see that the Lord is good, and his goodness and mercy, they endure forever. I had a couple people already tell me, oh, now you take it easy, and I'm no offense against you, but I'm going to take God's easy with this one. And if it feels good, I'm going to do it because I love feeling Jesus. Woo! I love you guys so much. You're very special to me. Jesus said, have I been with you so long time? Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me? Philip, he that has seen me, he has seen the Father. He said, Philip, I've tried, man. I'm doing my best. Philip, are you doing the rest? I know I'm ad-libbing here, but I got to do it to get the point across to you. Because you're doing the same thing Philip did with him. You're questioning. I can't grasp this. I can't understand this. And he's begging you. Look, come away. Get with me. You're too busy. You're too cluttered. Get your eye on the prize, the main thing, and shoot the arrow at the mark, and you will do it. The mark in Christ Jesus. He's the one, the only one that can satisfy and give you what you need. There's nothing else out there that's going to do it but him. Mama can't do it. Daddy can't do it. Brother or sister can't do it. Only you can do it with your life for Jesus Christ. what He wants you to do. Only you can jump into the timeline that you're supposed to fill and be the mark, the arrow that He shoots out to fulfill the destiny of His divine purpose. That's your responsibility, not His. He did everything. He waits upon you patiently, longing, wanting it to. He says, believe thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doth the works. He's saying, my spirit and the Spirit of God, we are knit with one accord and one purpose, a divine destination with destiny lined out by God to be fulfilled. And I'm going to set my face as a flint until I accomplish that purpose. Don't say it here, but the rest of the scriptures will teach it to you if you read them. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go into my Father. I'm going into, unto. If you look at that, that's a Greek word. My destiny. My purpose. I'm gonna sit where I'm supposed to sit on my throne as God. I am the first, I'm the last. No one beside me, no one after me. I alone am God, and I've got a purpose, and it was been predestined from the framing of this earth, what I'm supposed to do. And as a man, I can speak as a man, but as God, I'm revealing to you who I am, so the truth can set you free. Understand and know that I'm gonna do some great things around you when you begin to do it, but it's not any man, and it's not any woman doing it. It's the Spirit of the man or the woman that is knit with God himself, and he bringeth forth the works. Only you are the conduit, and only you can be open and flowing or shut your switch where he cannot do it for you. It's up to you. He's did what he can do. He goes on in verse 14. No, let's go back up to 13. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And I'm going to compare that, and I'm going to pin that right with. He came unto, no. But as many as received him, verse 10, to them he gave power to become, what? Sons and daughters of God. When you receive him, you become a sonship. Just like he was in the natural flesh, the Son, he is also the Son, the one and the true God Almighty. He's bringing the revelation, but they're having a hard time understanding it. Why? Because they did not have the privilege of what you and I have in this life today. They were in a time prior to the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. They never had any idea what the Holy Ghost was really all about. And I can say that in truthfulness, I don't think we really do either to the greatest of its extent. Because it's beyond our human mind and understanding what happens when you receive the Holy Ghost, the gift of God. It goes beyond comparison to anything on this earth. And it is a heavenly thing that is divine, God himself. And you say, brother, can you prove all that you just said? Because you have said a mouthful today. And yeah, I'm giving you some strong meat. Because God's got to wake us up. He said in the last days he's going to do a great work shortly. What's he mean by a great work shortly? Brother Al, I'm going to tell you what I believe it means, and you can tell me after church what you believe it means. But the great work shortly is he's going to put the revelation in your heart through the infilling of the Holy Ghost where you can tell somebody about him, and it's going to happen so quickly because you've already experienced some things and went through some fastings and went through some prayers. And when you put it on them, baby, they're going to get the revelation. And they're going to understand, and they're going to do some things that aren't natural and that are going to be supernatural. Why? Because they're just crazy enough as little kids to believe everything that mama and daddy tell them in the natural and in the spiritual. You are the works of his hand, and by you he sendeth forth the arrows of the Almighty. You are his voice, his eyes, his ears. You set things right in his garden that you walk in every day that seems so dismal, and you putting on garments of weeping and laying in your harps upon the trees, and they're begging you in the world, please play us the song of Zion. And you're saying, oh, there's so much COVID going on, I can't get to church. Oh, I got so much going on over here and prepared over here that ain't important to me is what's going to be happening in my home today. Or, oh, I got to go car shopping because my car's broke. Patty, childish the way we have become as a church. God forgive me. I was there. The reason I got this leg like it is, God slapped me down to put me back into place again. He said, I got to slow you down, son. You're working two jobs. You're neglecting your duties in your home with your wife. You're not doing what you're supposed to be doing in my field for the harvest. You got to get my attention as a hard-headed Missouri mule boy. And he did exactly that. And through prayer and fasting, I'm going to be walking with the divine more and more and more. And so shall you, because that's what this fast was all prepared to do. It ain't to bend his arm. It's to bend your old heart to turn to stone and put up in a fleshly heart that says, nevertheless, God, not my will, but thine be done. Hallelujah. If he shall ask anything, I'm probably not going to get through this. And I apologize because I want so bad to tell you all that God's God. It ties in with chapter 12, the very last of 12. If I don't get there, I'm going to keep going here. But I was praying, I've been fasting, and I've been seeking God. And I said, God, I need something. You got to give me something for the church. We're in dire straits, God. Our numbers had dwindled and we went down to a few. God, if you're out there, what is it you want me to say? I got no answer. But he awakened me early in the morning. And his mercies and grace are renewed every morning. He awakened me and he told me, you're going to speak on John 14. And John 12. And I said, but God, I don't even know what John 14 and John 12 are. And I'll show you and tell you one of my infirmities. I have a very difficult time with numbers. I, what the world would say, is dyslexic. But with God, all things are possible. I might not remember verse and number, but I can remember that word because I'm hiding it in my heart every day. I'm seeking after God when I wake up in the morning, and you can ask my wife. I want it. I want it more than life itself. I want to understand it because it is life itself. I want to be a part of it. I want it to be a part of me, and so should you. But we get so distracted. And I was strung out there. And he caught my attention again and brought me back to what's really important for me to become the arrow to shoot at his mark and not my design. If I worked two jobs and I had all the money in the world and I could fulfill everything of my heart's desire, I would probably go to hell lost. And so would you. Because the riches of this earth, money answereth all things. But God is the answer to everything. It's only an answer. In other words, if you would talk to the great people of old that worked in science, they would tell you there are many variables. Money's just one of the variables. But God is the final. Verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray to the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he would abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. That is the Holy Ghost, with what I spake of, that you could be filled with, that you can speak with a tongue that the angels desire to speak with. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you. And then, the coolest part of this comes, is on the very last of that. And he shall be in you. When you ask Jesus Christ into your life, you're placing yourself in that divine stream of the perfect will of God. But your journey has only yet begun. You began to find the supernatural begins to come around you. Trials and struggles. And man, I didn't know some of this stuff would be so hard, Brother Al. And I find myself thinking, man, how did I get off track over there? What did I do to let this happen? Many of us are sick. Many of us face health problems and issues. And some of it is, a big part of it is because we've caused it. I love what you said today, sis, about our eating habits. A lot of it is our eating. But the biggest part of it is our unsubmissiveness to God Almighty and to the Word of God. We want, and we devour it upon our own flesh. And we're like those that ate the quail in Israel in the Bible. And they ate and they ate and they ate. And then they died because their lust and their body could not eat all that was there for them to eat. But God keeps on giving. But if you get in God, you know how to eat, what to eat, when to eat. You learn that the body was not designed to go three meals a day, but you are a hunter and a scavenger by trade and by what you were when it first started out. And you didn't have all the availability to everything around you. And for there were times when even the disciples, they went without for 2 or 3 days. And it was a natural thing to them. And the body was resetting itself. And it was purging out that was taken in that wasn't good. And was bringing in through the sunshine and the work of their labor. And they kept on going. And everything began to come in harmony. And we've lost the harmony with God. And he said, I need to get you back into harmony with me and with my word. Like I said, I'm probably not going to finish all this, but I have to go on. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you. Verse 18. Jesus is speaking that. And at that day you shall know that I am in the Father and that ye are in me. He that keepeth my commandments are he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. You want to see God? Get in the Word. You want to hear God? Pray. You want to understand God? Ask for wisdom. Ask for knowledge. Tell him how insignificant you are as a human being, not how great you are. Psychologists are telling, believe in yourself. Who is self? Self can't get you into heaven. I don't care how much you want to build up yourself with the psychology methods of this world today. They're just vain and puffed up. They know nothing. But God's got all your answers through Jesus Christ. And that word will give it to you. Judas then says unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? He says, look, why is it that you're hiding yourself from the world? Like I spoke of earlier, he did things and told him, don't tell nobody about me. Why? How is it that thou wilt manifest thyself and not to the world? Listen to his reply. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. He's saying, look, the world don't love the world, or the world don't love the word. Because the world will make them do what it wants them to do. That's Satan. But the word, when you begin to love the word, it'll make your flesh do what it don't want to do. And that's pleasing to God. That's dying out to yourself and becoming a new creature in Christ Jesus. That's a surrender, the cross that you must bear every day. We're sitting on our pews, some of us, and we're going to hell. But I'm in Sunday school. I'm in church. I pray. I give a tithe. Is that all it takes? You better get in Christ Jesus. Or you may hear him say one day, sorry, I really never knew you. You didn't build the relationship with the word and me, what I taught, because I'm truth. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in what? Anybody got your Bible? You want to finish that off? There you go. He will send it in what? What's his name? So the Father and the Comforter are who? Father and the Comforter are one. Hear what it is, O Lord our God is one. He said, I'm going to send it in my name. Did not he say, I'm coming to you and I will return to you? He's saying, look, he'll send it in my name. He'll teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. The disciples went and he taught them physically as man, but yet as God to the best of his abilities. And still yet they could not grasp him until the totality of his death came about. And then they finally got the point and said, didn't he teach us this? Didn't he show us this? You need the Holy Ghost to understand what God is trying to say to you. And you can't get there without it. The Spirit of God through Jesus Christ is God. God is a spirit. And they that worship him will worship him in the spirit and in the truth. If God is a spirit and the Holy Spirit is called Jesus Christ, then he's saying, we're coming to home, baby, and we want to set up shop in your little heart and in your life. And your earthly tabernacle that couldn't be held by walls and boundaries can barely contain that I put upon you. Why do I dance in the Holy Ghost? Why do I worship God and speak with tongues? Because I can't contain all that's about him. And when he comes over me, it's something supernatural, kiddos, that puts me to a place in him that I can't get no other way. And when I get into that place, happy am I. I'm a child of the King in Zion, and I can dance around the throne with glee, and so can you. It is your destiny. It is your purpose to be filled with the Holy Ghost. It is not just a prayer language that you can speak freely. It's a language that you can communicate to God Himself intimately, one-on-one, drawing the line between the flesh and joining your place in Him, Christ Jesus. It does something that nothing else can do. It will raise you and put you into the throne room of God to be able to speak the King's language. And no, it's not just another language of Toyota or Mercedes-Benz. Sell my Toyota, get me a Mercedes-Benz. It's not something you can think with your mind. It's something you gotta receive in your spirit. And oh, when you receive it, you'll love everybody. You won't talk about your neighbor. You won't talk about your friends. You won't wonder what pastor's doing or what Brother Hal's doing or what they're saying. You don't care anything, but I gotta get back in that throne room once more. And you'll go to some extreme extents just like you have to get there. It takes prayer and it takes fastings. And the little spirit that would not come out of the boy, that could not be cast out that day. And I'm in the Holy Ghost, kiddos. I'm telling you right now. They brought him to Jesus and they couldn't cast him out. And when it was all finally said and Jesus said, "Oh, thou faithless and thwart generation, how long must I suffer you and be with you?" He said, "Bring me the boy." And they brought it to him. And he cast the devil out and he commanded him to leave. And he did. And the disciples said, "Why could not we do it? Kind cometh out but through prayer and fastings." And you got problems in your flesh because you're not praying and you're not fasting, and you can't control your tempers because you're not praying and because you're not fasting, and you got problem understanding the word because you're not praying and you're not fasting. You're trying to get there on your own. You're trying to pry the door open with your human crowbar. You're doing all the works, but your works won't get you into heaven. The only thing that will get you into heaven is by grace and mercy are you saved through the blood of Jesus Christ and salvation in His Spirit. I told you it was some strong stuff. Hallelujah. If you want me to go on, I will go on. "Bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I had said unto you." He said, "I'll teach you. Trust me. You do it my way, I got your back." Go ahead and look into the scriptures on what fasting does. He's your real reward. He's going to be the one that got your back covered in the midst of the fight. When your flesh is weak and you want to run or you don't understand, He says, "I'll cover that too. That's what I'm going to do for you." He said, "My peace I leave you with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." He said, "Don't think that you can't do it. I got your sides. I got your fronts. I got your backs. Shoot. Kid, I'm inside of you." Woo! Now the revelation is starting to come about. And some of you, I've seen it come across your face. You're understanding what I'm saying. This is not meat for the world. They can't understand what you're talking about. To get, you got to give. What? That don't make no sense. God says, "Yeah, because the more you give, the more I'm going to give to you. Heaped up, shaken down, and running over." And I'm not just talking natural. I'm talking spiritual. When you want something to eat and you were struggling in your fast, did you find somebody to give the meat that you've been shown by God in that time to them? And did that time, did you feel better afterwards? And all of a sudden your heart's skipping a beat? Well, guess what? You're just like Jesus, baby. And when He sat on that well and they said, "Here, we got some food for you," He said, "I have meat to eat that you know not of." Why? Because He told them about Jesus. He's revealed to her. He said, "The time cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall neither worship in this mountain nor yet any other mountain. He's saying, baby, I am God Almighty. And if you knew who it was that's talking to you, all you would do is ask of me something, and out of your belly would flow rivers of living water. And that's rivers. That's not a river. That's rivers. That means that there are many tributaries to your tree of life. And he said, I'm going to be the one that brings life to it all, kiddo. I'm going to make you excited and happy and joyful and peaceful in the midst of everything. Your branches are going to bloom out and bloom like the fig tree. You're going to have meat to eat in due season if you faint not, if you keep on going. And many of us, maybe some of us, have given up on some of those things as far as it goes with fasting. But you've not failed. You've just shown your humanity how weak you really are. Repent and turn back to God, and He will give you the joy of your salvation. Woo! You've heard it said how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you will rejoice, because I said I go unto the Father. And my Father is greater than I. That's going to blow some of your little minds. Maybe even here, but I know out there in the world today. The Father, he said, is greater than I, Jesus Christ. What's he saying? He's saying, I am obedient as a man to everything in that book. I have done everything into perfection. I have not missed anything, or I cannot be the spotless lamb that I'm supposed to be to take away the sins of the world. But it was laid down before. It was in the plan of the Spirit of God that I would manifest at a particular time. Many of you, like butterflies, have been rolled up in a cocoon, and you've waited a long time. But it took Jesus from the age of 12 all the way up to, when did he start his ministry? 33. It took him time to become submissive to the very will of God and to learn the things of God. You didn't see him doing but one miracle during that time, to my knowledge, where he turned water into wine. What was he doing? He was being submissive to a mother that wanted something from him, and in his submissiveness as the child was saying, okay, I will do this thing for you, mama, because you ask. And I'm telling you, whatsoever you ask in his name, you shall in no wise cast away, but get it. Why? Because he's your heavenly Father. He's not like an earthly father. He loves in spite of your crippling attitudes and your brokenness. He wants you to succeed beyond your wildest dreams. That's his design. That's his desire. John 12. I'm going to wrap this up. I've been a long time and I know it. But you got to understand who it is that speaks to you today, compelling you to join forces with him, that he can put you on your mark, on your pathway to righteousness. You can't do it on your own. As a drug addict, I couldn't do it. I say, I ain't gonna drink, and I would drink. I ain't gonna use, and I would use. And then I came to Jesus, and I said, I ain't gonna drink. And he said, I'm gonna help you not to drink. I said, I ain't gonna do the other things. And he said, I'm gonna help you not to do those other things. And by the Spirit of God, through the loving kindness of the mercy and the grace of God, I didn't fall down very often, and I was right back up again, because I quickly repented and I learned my lesson. And if you will just but learn your lesson and repent, he'll receive you into himself, and you will be the child you're supposed to be. My kids could do all kinds of strange and cruel or unworthy things. And if you're a parent, you'll know what I'm talking about. But the moment that they said, Daddy, I'm sorry, I said, I know, kid. You may have to go through some things because of your failures, but it's not going to be your end or your demise. They were to teach you so that you can be greater in the kingdom. Jesus rides in the verse 12. They begin to say, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. Verse 13. Verse 15 says, Fear not, O Zion. O daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh. The King of Kings, the Lord of glory, rode on a donkey. Don't sound right. Oh my, what is it? Oh my mule. And let me get beside myself and just dance a little bit in the spirit. They kicked him out of the church. I'm telling you, the time's coming. They will not endure sound doctrine. They don't want you to tell them who Jesus is. That he wants to corral them and put them in his sheepfold. They don't want to hear that. They want to do what they want to do. They want to go where they want to go. They want to say what they want to say when they want to say it. And it don't matter who they hurt with their words. And it don't matter who they chomp on. And you're children of Satan if you're just like that. And you're doing his bidding. You're not a children of the light. You have done lost your positioning and you're standing in the kingdom of heaven if you're doing those things and you're practicing those things and you're not repenting. Judas knew this. Oh God, how the church would wake up and realize. Verse 28. Father, glorify your name. Then came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and I will glorify it again. This he was speaking. Jesus speaking as a man. Father, glorify the spirit that's within me. Let all see. And he says, I'll both glorify it. And if you want to put it in there in Ed's vernacular, I'll magnify it. He said, because if I be lifted up and I be put up on a cross, I'll draw all men unto me. But it's through the death and the burial of the resurrection of Jesus Christ that you have life eternal. And only through him. He is the only door that's going to give you salvation. And you can't get up any other way unless you're coming in as a thief and a robber. You've got to go through Jesus Christ. Now is the judgment of the world. Now shall the prince of the world be casted out. 32. And if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. I'm going to jump very quickly because I said this is closing. Verse 44. Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Verse 49. For I have spoken not of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave the commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so speak I. I'm sorry, but I'm getting more and more dogmatic. If it ain't in the Word, I don't want to preach it. I can give you a lot of hypotheses. I could tell you a lot of theories. I could tell you what this one said about angels. I could tell you what this one said about demons. I don't know much about angels. I don't know much about demons. But I know a lot about Jesus Christ. That he is the power of God unto salvation. And if you got a problem, my God can solve that problem. If you got a demon, my God could cast that demon out of you and make you whole. He did it before, and he'll do it again. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And this message may go out to the airwaves. I pray it does, because I'm talking to you out there too. If you got a problem, seek you a church, a Bible-believing church, someone who will teach you the truth, someone who will tell you about the Holy Ghost infilling in Jesus' name and the baptism of his name through the Spirit to entryway. You cannot get free unless Jesus sets you free. You cannot overcome anything in your life that you're trying to overcome on your own. You can only do it through the power of God. If you're saved, it's because someone had compassion on you and prayed for you. If you're where you're at today and you're hearing my voice and you know what I'm talking about, you're twisted in your turmoil and you've walked and all of a sudden you've fallen down, he's saying, just get back up, child, and come again. Walk one more time with me. Did not I calm the sea? Did not I raise the dead? Did not I cast out all these things? I'm not speaking of me as the man Jesus. I'm speaking to you as God your Father, he says. I want to do this for you. My blood was for you. My suffering was for you. My pain was for you. By the stripes on my back, you are made whole. If you got a problem, I challenge you in the Holy Ghost to step forth today. Let me lay my hand on you in the Holy Ghost and watch the power demonstration of God over your problem. I guarantee you my God can solve that problem and will dissolve it before you probably leave this place. I said this was the last, but I got one more tidbit. The appetizer. My daughter was telling me, a lady just recently started a church. I'm not even going to tell you where it's at. A biker came into the service. A lady in the wheelchair came into the service. She didn't have the muscles in her leg like you're used to seeing. Matter of fact, doctors told her she really don't even have the bone and the structure is gone out of her legs. And that biker sat on the back row and he watched. What's this woman of God gonna do? The woman's head should bruise the heel of the serpent lady. You got a divine power and inspiration through the Holy Ghost to do something supernatural. You can stand beside man and God will glorify your ministry. And together, you can do some things, but you can do some things on your own. This woman, the lady said, I want prayer. And in her still small voice, she asked for prayer. And they wheeled her up. And the doctors had tried to stabilize her legs at one time, and they had put metal rods in the lower part and into her feet, so hopefully they were thinking that maybe she could stand. But her skeleton was so destroyed by sickness and disease that it was impossible for her to still stand. And that woman, by the power of Jesus' name and the ability of the Holy Ghost through God Almighty, laid her hands on her and prayed for her in the name of Jesus. And she got up out of her wheelchair. And she walked on legs that have never walked. Not only did God give her muscles that had never been used, but he did greater. He gave her bone. And it covered over the bone in her metal. And now she's a bionic woman for Jesus Christ. And she's walking and she's talking by the power of the Holy Ghost. This so unnerved, this hard-cased core biker, that he brought his friends in. And she now has one of the largest groups in her area of bikers that know nothing about Jesus that are performing miracles because they believe. Where is your faith? What do you want? What do you need? I challenge you, put him to the test. I know what he can do. I've seen it. Blind eyes open, lame walk, dumb talk. 4-year-olds filled with the Spirit and dancing under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I've seen it. I've experienced. I tasted of things heavenly yet to come. I'm going after it in a great way. I challenge you in the Holy Ghost. Come on. Let's see what God can do, because he's got more in store than I have experienced, because you're experiencing it with me. God bless you this morning. No one responded to the call that you wanted something. I just ask that you would bow your head with me. The last moment of this service. I speak to you by the authority and the power of Jesus' name. I speak bone upon bone. Spirit knit with spirit. Understanding of the supernatural upon your lives beyond your wildest dreams. these things shall be. Because I'm speaking by faith, they shall be. Ezekiel saw it. I believe what he saw was a resurrected church full of the power of the Holy Ghost. He's not coming back for a weakling church. He's coming back for a dynamic duel. You and him together to accomplish his will on the face of this earth. God bless you. God richly bless you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.